Did everybody notice that? Did everybody notice that all of those Scriptures had something to say about the coming of the Lord? Alright? I noticed also something else about those Scriptures together. That all five passages of Scripture not only deals with the coming of the Lord, but all five passages also deals with the condition of the saints. Not just the coming of the Lord, but the condition of the saints. How many recognized what condition it was? How many noticed the repetition of all those passages, what it was? Sleep. The second coming of the Lord is real, it's true, and it could happen before I get through preaching this morning. But the condition of the saints is that of sleep. Sleeping on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. Now you wouldn't think God's people would be doing that, but we are doing that. For the most part, the church of the living God today is asleep on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. Now, if you notice something, a third thing that I noticed in all of those passages, at least four of them, it's very clear in four of them, and that was that in those passages, not only was the coming of the Lord talked about, and the condition of the saints was talked about, but it also showed me a third thing that's alarming, and that was the same condition the saints were in were the same condition the sinners were in. Asleep. Unalert, unexpected. And I want to deal with those things if I could. Now, our emphasis this month is what? The hour is late. The time is now. Why is the hour late? It's because we're getting moment by moment closer to the coming of the Lord. And once Jesus comes, your opportunities and mine will be forever over to serve God and to accomplish anything for Jesus. You can't do any more after Jesus comes. You'll not hand out another tract after Jesus comes. You'll not preach another sermon, sing another song, teach another lesson. You'll not pray another prayer after Jesus comes. Because as you see, when Jesus comes, the Bible reveals that when He comes, the saints of God, both dead and alive, will be taken away to be with the Lord. So whatever we do, we must do now. We must do prior to the coming of the Lord. And I believe in light of Bible prophecy, I believe in light of the Scriptures, I'd have to say that the hour is late. On the front of your bulletin, it's got a picture of a clock. If you'll notice, it's 5 minutes till 12. The clock here and the clock there on the communion table and that clock are all set to show us that it's almost, the day is almost over for us. The day of opportunity, the day of service, the day of accomplishments, the day of effectiveness is almost over. We're asleep. And God is disturbed by that in five different passages to deal with it. Now in the Scripture, there is physical sleep, but then there is spiritual sleep. And there's a lot of similarities between the physical sleep and spiritual sleep. And you can do your own study on that. But I want to say to you this morning, if you look on the front of your bulletin, it's what I want to preach on. I put it on there on purpose so you'd at least remember the title if you don't lose your bulletin. I want to preach this morning, if saints snooze, sinners lose. If the saints snooze, sinners lose. Now we've heard the statement before and it is accurate and it's worth maybe even preaching on sometime. If you snooze, you lose. If you snooze, you lose. And all, probably the judgment seat of Christ will only reveal to you and me how much we have lost by snoozing, by being lazy and slothful and negligent. Amen. Amen. And the point I want to point out is that if we, the saints, lose, it will be the sinners that lose. Because nobody gets saved apart from a witness. Amen. In this dispensation, people don't get saved through visions and dreams. They get saved through somebody witnessing to them, sharing the personal testimony of the grace of God in their life. And I want to ask you, how long has it been since you told somebody what the Lord done for you? When I was in Spartanburg Regional this past week, unexpected, uninvited, and unwanted, especially when I get the bill, I will be sick then, for sure. Amen. I will need a blood transfusion. But when I got in that, when they were going to admit me, I got in the wheelchair and I had peace in my heart. I didn't know why I was there. I didn't know why all that was happening to me. And I said, well, Lord, maybe you got me here on purpose. And the fellow came from transport, put me in a wheelchair and was going to roll me to my room. And I began to talk to that young man about the Lord. Come to find out, he was a bouncer in several bars and a few other things. Of course, I began to share with him my personal testimony of how that I'd been saved from that, not the bouncer side, but I guess I was the bouncee side. I wasn't the bouncer, I was the bouncee, probably. Amen, Brother Silas. And I said, I want you to know I'm glad those days are forever over with me. For 27 years, I've never been inside of one. Well, I may have told one right there. I did go back in one bar. I did go back in one. We were en route to Bible college one night. Went by Scatterbrain Johnson's old beer joint on the side of the road on Beasley Mountain. And the Lord said to me, go in there and witness to Scatterbrains. I said, Lord, you do know his name is Scatterbrains. He didn't get that on accident. Lord put it in my heart to go, and of course we had two or three others with us and in the car, and I told them, I said, brethren, I said, I believe the Lord wants us to go in Scatterbrain Johnson's place, and I mean that place is wicked, and witness to him. And they began to question my salvation and my call and my discernment and everything else, Brother Carroll. And we went on past it and pulled over and prayed, and sure enough, God really witnessed the fact that he wants to go back. Of course, you know, they said, we're behind you, preacher, and they was way back there. And we went in there, but anyway, probably the most gracious treatment we've ever had, that I've ever had, probably came from him. He stopped the jukebox. He stopped everybody from playing pool. I'm talking about Scatterbrains. He stopped everybody from rolling dice and gambling. He stopped everybody from drinking. He said, these preachers come in here to tell us about Jesus and to play with us. We're going to give them the floor. Amen. And there for several minutes I had the floor to talk to that man about Jesus and all those other heathens in there about the Lord. But anyway, back to my story. I'd like to tell you more about that sometime. But back to my story, I told that boy about the Lord and how the Lord saved me from sin and done a work in my life. And by this time we'd got to the room. And I said, I want to tell you something. I knew his name then. I don't remember what it was now. But I said to him, called his name. I said, I want you to know something. I said, I'm never sick. Very seldom I'm ever sick, especially sick enough to go to the hospital. Never sick enough to have to go to the emergency room. I said, I want to tell you, Tuesday morning, unexpected. I said, in fact, that was that morning. I said, this morning, I said, I began to develop this problem. And I had to be taken to the emergency room. And I said, I don't know, but really, why the Lord didn't let all that happen to me to put me in your life. Standing in my room there. And of course, you know, he had to take it. He had to take it. Amen. And I told him, I said, God has put me in your life to tell you about Jesus. And the boy wasn't saved. Now I promise you, he won't forget that morning. He didn't get saved at that morning. But I'll tell you what, he won't forget that. Amen. God has ways of putting you in places in people's lives. My friend, and you may not even know why you're there. But if we'd be soul conscious and sinner conscious and be looking around, who? God, you've got me here. I'm at this gas station at this time for a purpose. I'm at Walmart at this time for a purpose. I'm eating lunch at this place on purpose. Lord, where? Somebody needs the gospel. Somebody needs a track. You say, preacher, I don't do that. I'll tell you one reason why. We're asleep. We're on the very edge of the coming of the Lord. You can take this Bible, my friend, and prove that. We're on the very edge of the coming of the Lord. And what is God's people doing for the most part? Asleep. The same condition of, as sinners are. Asleep. The five foolish virgins, they were asleep. As the five wise virgins was asleep. Are you listening? And then there in, let me flip that there. I want to show it to you. There in Mark's Gospel, I believe it is, when it was talking about, no, Luke 17. When it said, and that night, there shall be two men in one bed. What are you doing in a bed? Sleep! Watch this. One will be taken, the other left. There's both asleep, both doing the same thing, one left out and the other left here. Saints and sinners are a lot, have too much resemblance. I appreciate what Brother William shared in us opening a Sunday school. If people don't see a difference in you, your life will not be effective. Your voice will not have an effect on people's lives. If sinners are asleep concerning the coming of the Lord, they're not alert, they're not alarmed, they're not disturbed, and they look at you, and as a believer, a professing believer, and you're in the same shape, you're asleep too, you're not alert, you're not alarmed, you're not expectant, then guess what? You're not going to have an effect on them. Amen? You're not going to have an effect on them. Now listen to me. Listen to this. What is it? Did you know that the devil does a lot of things in the Bible while people are asleep? Let me give you five of them. Samson lost his power because he went to sleep. Samson lost his power. The enemy knew if we can get him asleep, then we've got a chance. What do you think? The devil's lost that thought? Do you think the devil still, he thinks that still today? If I can get them asleep, I can take their power. I can take their effectiveness. Sure. Sure he will. Amen. So there was Samson who lost his power. And then of course I've already made reference in Matthew 13 and verse 25. That the enemy sowed tares. Came in while the people were asleep and sowed tares among the wheat. The enemy looked for an opportunity to make his move. When did he move? When he saw them asleep. Because when you're asleep, you're not alert. Amen? You're at a disadvantage when you're asleep. So the enemy sowed the tares. Here's another one. Matthew 26, 45. The disciples lost out on a great experience with Jesus because they were asleep. Amen. I want to read that one, Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 45. I want you to listen to this. You know the passage. Matthew 26 and verse number 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. And take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed at the hand of sinners. My, what they missed out on by being asleep. Amen? And then here's another one in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to preach on this sometime. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 20. There was a mother, because she was asleep, had her baby boy, her son, stolen right out from her bed because she is asleep. And didn't know it till the next day. Well, I want to tell you, the enemy wants to steal our children. But you know when he wants to make his move? When we're asleep. Amen. That's right. Peter, James, and John, another passage, Luke 9 and verse 32 on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible said that they were heavy with sleep on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was there in all of His glory, what was the saints battling? Sleep. Let me give you this. What leads to sleep? I'm just going to preach around a little while here and we'll unhook and maybe finish the rest tonight. What leads to sleep? The first thing, these are not in any particular order. Let me just give you some things that promote sleep, leads you into that zone of sleep. And the first one would be slothfulness. Slothfulness. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. I didn't tell you my opinion, that's the Bible. Proverbs 19:15, I'll read it again. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. The devil knows that if he's going to get you asleep, that he first must get you slothful. And that word slothful means sluggish or lazy. Amen. Slothfulness leads to sleep. A second truth that leads to sleep or influences sleep in your life or will bring sleep on in your life is the word sickness. Sickness. When you're sick, what do you want to do? Go to work and work 12-hour days? Run around the block? Go work in the garden, mow the yard? Neither of the above. What do you want to do when you're asleep? When you're sick, you want to lay down somewhere. You want to sleep. You can sleep when you're sick. Most of the time, more than you can any other time. Asleep. I guess that's natural, a natural happening if you're physically sick for you to be able to recuperate or whatever. But spiritually, the devil knows that if he can get you sick spiritually. And you know if you're sick, you know where it shows up? First, it shows up on your face. I looked in the mirror the other morning. I said, where was I at? It was Friday night. Friday night, I looked in the mirror and I thought, unto God, I was looking at a ghost. I mean, seriously. I was pale as a ghost. I came up to the top of the stairs earlier this morning, and the first, I don't remember who it was, first one I talked to said, preacher, you look pale. So thank you. I was feeling better before I got here. Amen. I'm trying to deny how I feel and get up and preach, amen, and help the saints, and you know, stand in my place and preach. But you look pale, preacher. Amen. It's up on your face. And I tell you what, you can't hide it. The Bible said, I believe it's the book of Isaiah, that your countenance doth witness against thee. You get away from God, it'll show up on your face. You get cold on God, it'll show up on your countenance. Amen. My mom always said she could tell when I was sick by looking at my eyes. You know, kind of when the preachers are preaching and your eyes are doing this? I can tell by looking at your eyes you're sick. Amen. While the preaching's going on, if your eyes are wandering to and fro and looking through and beating, you know, doing your fingernails and playing with something and texting and all those kinds of things, I can tell by looking at your eyes. You're sick. Amen. Well, I don't want to labor there, but well, there is such a thing as spiritual sickness. Well, the devil gets you sick, and if he does, he's got you weak. He's got you where you don't feel good. I was over at Miss Stapleton's yesterday. You know what things you better not pay attention to your feelings on. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't feel like going to church. How many times you do? I don't feel like reading my Bible. How many times will you feel like it? Amen. Miss Stapleton was told by a doctor to go see a doctor. And she told that doctor, she said, she pointed that little bony finger at me. She said, this is what I said, preacher. I pointed my finger and said, I don't feel like going to that doctor. And she didn't go. 95 years old, I wouldn't argue with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. And I said, Miss Stapleton, you can't wait till you feel like it to go to the doctor. Most of the time when you go to the doctor is when you don't feel like it. Amen. She said, I know. And he got on her, the doctor did, and rebuked her, you know, and everything. So now she's got to go next month to see that doctor. I said, Miss Stapleton, you got to go whether you feel like it or not. Amen. I didn't feel like going to Mercer the other morning, but I did. Amen. Sick brings about weak feeling and you don't feel good. And that's when you have to kick it in and say, hey, I'm going to do what I'm determined to do. I'm going to make a choice to do. Amen. A lot of people let their feelings get in the way of going to church. I know there's times you get sick and you don't go. I came Wednesday night. I didn't feel like it. I promise you I didn't feel like it. Amen. Lost quite a bit of blood, and what little bit I did have, the nurses come in there every 4 hours of drawing out of two or three vials. I told them, I said, unto God, I don't have it, just a little bit left. You know? I'm telling you, I done kicked the reserve switch over, amen? And then you coming in here wanting more. That'd be all I ever seen. But I mean, weakness. But sickness will lead to sleep. You get sick spiritually. Sleep will set in shortly. Here's another one, a third one that leads to sleep is sadness. Sadness. 1 Kings 19:5, you know what Elijah was doing? Elijah was asleep, guess where? Under the juniper tree. Saying, I'm the only one left, and you know, they're out to kill me, and What was the deal? He was sad. He was sad. Brother, you get sorrowful in your heart. What do you want to do? You want to sleep. They tell me, Brother Williams could tell you more better than I, but they tell me that one of the signs of depression is that you sleep a lot. Because that is an escape. That's an escape. Getting to that zone of sleep. You're getting away from your troubles or what's depressing you. Sadness leads to sleep. What's hard to find a joyful Christian anymore? Are you listening? You can go to about any church. It's hard to find a church member, including a preacher, that's got a smile on their face. They're sad. They're all down in the dumps. You know, whining around. God help us. Number four. Here's another one that'll lead to sleep is stillness. You know, if you're going to go to sleep, you've got to get still. As long as you're active, more than likely, sleep's not going to have a chance. As long as you're moving, as long as you're involved, as long as you're doing something, more than likely, sleep will not have a chance. You've got to stop doing before you can sleep. You've got to get still before you can go to sleep. Boy, the devil don't want you to serve. The devil don't want you to do nothing. Why? So he can get you into that zone of sleep. And when you're in that zone of sleep, my friend, you have no effect on sinners. You have no effect on sinners. Here's another one. You ready for number five? Number five is silence. If you're going to go to sleep, you got to shut up. You don't go to sleep talking. I know a few ladies probably could, but I'm just kidding. Amen. Hey man, I'm just kidding about that. But honestly, have you been in a group, or have you been in, and all of a sudden somebody's just check, and all of a sudden you notice they're not talking anymore, and look around and they're passed out, they're asleep. Why? That's two things you can't do, speak and sleep at the same time. Amen. Devil knows if I'm going to get you in that zone of sleep. By the way, all those passages I read, sleep is being condemned. Spiritual sleep is being condemned in all of those passages. And let me say to you, dear friend, the devil knows if he's going to get you asleep, number one, he has to shut your mouth and get you quiet so that you don't testify or sing in the choir or teach in the class. My friend will give out a good witness on the job. Amen. I get alarmed. I know I'm not supposed to get carried away this morning, but I can't hardly help it. Amen. I'm telling you, when people get saved, or they come out of a revival meeting, all of a sudden they're testifying and they're fired up and they're excited and they're telling what God's doing in their life, and then all of a sudden, service after service after service, week after week, they're quiet. Anybody got a word of testimony? Come on, surely somebody's got a word of testimony. I got a dollar. Somebody will testify. That ought never should be in the house of God. Amen? When he said, anybody got a word of testimony? It ought to be 15 people jump at one time. Say, preacher, God's been good to me. I've got plenty to complain about. I've got plenty I can murmur about. I want to just forget all of that and say, in spite of it all, God is good. He's good all the time. Better than I ever deserve. When you get quiet, it's a sign of spiritual decline. All I have to do is listen to what you talk about. It's amazing how we can talk about everything in the book except spiritual things. But we're backwards when it comes to that. We're shy when it comes to that. But oh, we can talk about the balls and we can talk about the whatever team or whatever sports star or whatever race car driver. We can talk about that. But how often do we talk about the Lord? You say, oh, preacher, I just don't know what to say. That's not it. I'm going to tell you what the bottom line is. It's a love problem. Bottom line, I mean, if you keep going down through the problems and just keep going all the way to the foundation, the bottom line, the bottom one, you can't go no further than this one. It is a love problem. It's a love problem. You've lost your first love. You've left your first love. My friend, you're loving other things. Whatever you love will come out your mouth. You'll talk about what thrills you. You'll talk about what excites you. Amen? That's right. So silence leads to sleep. Amen. Some of you right now need to get in the altar. Amen. Silent. Silent. Amen. Hadn't heard you testify in a while. Amen. You know what? I tell you, not just testimonies and such as that, but I tell you what you won't do too when you get sleepy. You won't pray. You'll be silent concerning prayer. You won't pray. Let me give you another one quickly. Not only the silence and those others, stillness, sadness, sickness, slothfulness. Here's you another one. And I guess I've already dealt with this one. I just call it strengthlessness. That is a word, by the way. Strengthless. When you become weak, sleep is knocking at the door. Well, the devil wants to do that. Wants to get you fatigued and tired and wore out. Amen. Well, I mean, do you ever get tired of the fight? Do you ever get tired of the battle? Now, I'm going to tell you what's truth now. Being saved, that was easy. That was God doing for me. But boy, being spiritual is a battle. Being spiritual, I'm talking about staying spiritual. I'm not talking about hitting it every 2 or 3 weeks or every month or two. I'm talking about trying to consistently stay spiritual, Brother Travis. It requires maintenance. It is a battle. It's with opposition. And brother, I'm telling you, I get tired of it every once in a while. I get tired of it. I'm tired of it. Amen. Tired of the fight. The more the devil can get you fatigued under a burden, he'll sure work sleep in your life. Here's you another one. Sleepiness leads to sleep. Here's your verse, Proverbs 6 and verse 10. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. That word slumber means drowsiness. Some of you are not asleep, but you're sleepy. Hey, if you're sleepy, you're still awake, but not much. Sleepy is soon to give way to sleep. Drowsiness. Some of you listen, can I give you a word? Some of you, all of us, me included, you'd better keep your eye on your own spiritual life. You better stay alert for your own spiritual life and your own spiritual condition and see when drowsiness creeps in. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a term that all of us have used concerning sleep. How many of you have ever said this? I fell asleep. I fell asleep. You didn't know you was even asleep till you woke up. And you say, when did I go to sleep? You didn't know when you went to sleep. Because drowsiness crept in so subtly and so slowly. It crept in and it increased. And the next thing you know, before you knew it, you was out. And didn't even know you was out until you got woke up. Devil wants to put that sleepiness in your life spiritually. Get you drowsy. Get you, my friend, to where you're just about half out and half in. He'll bring about sleep in your life. Proverbs 23 and 21, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Listen, here's another one. This is the last one. Number 8, Luke 22:45, sorrow will produce sleep. Luke 22:45, and when he arose from prayer, and when he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were sleeping for sorrow. Sadness. Boy, a lot of people, my friend, are asleep in the house of God spiritually. They're asleep. Why? Because of sadness. Can I just tell you something you better be alarmed about is when you start losing your joy. When you start losing your joy as a believer, and it's being replaced with sadness and sorrow, my friend, you better watch it. Listen, you're headed for trouble spiritually. They were sleeping for sorrow. Amen. I believe one of the great success of Christianity is going to be how you deal with sadness and how you deal with sorrow. How you deal with hardships. How you deal with adversities. How you deal with disappointments that'll come in your life. Amen? Amen. Don't ever say that your sadness is spiritual. Don't ever blame your heartaches and your difficulties for your sadness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. One of them is listed as joy. Every one excuse for a loss of joy, and it's sin. We're losing ground spiritually, and the Spirit of God can't produce that joy in your life. Amen. Sorrow produces sleep. Amen. Why don't we listen? Let me just run through these right quick. While we're here. You said, preacher, why should we fight sleep? Have you ever heard that term? Have you ever seen babies fight sleep? Come on, moms. They fight sleep. They want to sleep. They need to be asleep. But they're fighting and they're screaming and they're, pitching a hissy. To fight sleep. And I've always wondered. I want to say, hey, excuse me. Why don't you just go to sleep? Why are you fighting the very thing you need? Fighting sleep. I'm going to tell you why we spiritually ought to fight sleep. We ought to fight sleep because there's a lot of things you can't do when you're asleep. And I'm going to give them to you quickly. Y'all ready? I'm going to run through them quick. Try to. Number one, you can't see when you're asleep. You can't be a watchman. You can't look out for yourself. You can't look out for your family. You can't look out for your church assembly. You can't look out, my friend, for others. If you are asleep, the enemy will do his business and you will not detect it because you're asleep. And there's scriptures about that. Here's another thing you can't do when you're asleep. Number two, you ready? Number two, you can't speak when you're asleep. And I've already dealt with that on that other list. You can't speak when you're asleep. You can't witness. You can't testify. You can't do nothing verbally when you're asleep. Here's another one. Number three, you can't serve when you're asleep. I'm telling you why some of you don't do nothing. You're asleep. Say amen right there. Amen. You can't serve when you're asleep. That's right. Amen. All right, Proverbs 10 and verse 5 says about that, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. A son sleeping in harvest causeth shame. You can't serve. You can't work. You can't labor. When you're asleep, you can't accomplish nothing. Here's you another one. Number four, you can't stand when you're asleep. You can't stand. You can't stand for nothing, and you can't stand against nothing when you're asleep. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Hello, hello, friend. I'll just be honest with you. Most people today is looking for a church. They're not looking for an alarm clock preacher. They're not looking for a pastor that'll get up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sound the alarm. I never have. When my alarm, Brother Carroll's, went off, reached over and got it and pulled it over to me and went, thank you for waking me up. No, I've knocked it in the floor a few times. Say amen right there. And when you use the term, I hit the snooze, that's not a figure of speech. Why? But alarm clocks are necessary. It's not what I welcome. It's not what I want. It's not what I like. But it's necessary, my friend. Why? To wake me up. I want to tell you, God's people, including RBT, we need to be awakened. We're a sleeping giant. The devil will tremble if we wake up and get serious and get spiritual and get spirit-filled. The devil would tremble. He wants to keep us asleep. He wants to keep us asleep. RBT is a sleeping giant. You said, preacher, we don't have it 100 and something. Hey, we're a sleeping giant. Amen. We can't stand up. We can't stand. Here's another thing we cannot do when we're asleep. We cannot sow. We cannot sow and plant if you're asleep. Here's number 6. We cannot seek. S-E-E-K. We cannot seek. Desires cannot be fulfilled when you're asleep. We cannot seek. Number 7, we cannot shield. That is, we offer no protection. We offer no protection. We are vulnerable when we're asleep. Amen. We cannot shield. I'm going to add this one. Here's another one. We cannot sense. We lose our discernment when we're asleep. There's people, my friend, that's died. I don't understand how that happens. But there's people who have died in their very own house when their house caught on fire. And they'll find them laying in the bed, dead, asleep. Was asleep, now dead. You know why? They lose that discernment. They lose that sensitivity of what's going on around them. They're unconscious. They're out of it. Well, the devil wants to get us in a condition of sleep on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. I want to say, if we as God's people snooze, sinners will lose. Sure, we cannot sense. We cannot, number 8, we cannot sing when we're asleep. You say, preach, how important is that? The largest book in your Bible is a song book. Did you know that? The book of Psalms is a song book. The largest book in your Bible is a song book. God, Brother Brian, puts high emphasis on singing. Of course, Brother Williams, the devil uses singing too. That's why I'm so adamant, my friend, of preaching against wrong kind of music. Because I know who's behind it. Amen. Amen. That's right. Listen, you cannot sing. Here's something for some of you. You cannot shout when you're asleep. Yeah, I've seen some of you awake before. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! But when that spirit of slumber gets on you, when that sleep gets on you spiritually, you look at me kind of like the way y'all looking at me this morning. Oh, preacher, you must not be too sick. We thought maybe you'd be sick enough to only preach 20 minutes. You're not too sick. I wish you'd hurry up and shut up. Yeah, that's spiritual, ain't it? That's real spiritual. Amen. Amen. That's right. You cannot shout when you're asleep. I got to hurry. Some of you, you're getting done before I am. Number 10, you cannot sojourn when you're asleep. You cannot walk the paths of righteousness when you're asleep. You cannot, amen? You cannot travel and walk with God. Enoch walked with God. You can't do that if you're asleep. Here's another one. You cannot stop. You don't have any ability to stop things when you're asleep. Number 12, you cannot study when you're asleep. Say amen right there. That's all right. We'll have an altar call in a minute. Studying the Word of God is a responsibility of all of God's people. If you've been saved any length of time, much at all, and you've not been studying the Word of God, shame on you. Hebrews chapter 5 rebukes sharply those that claim to be saved and were no doubt saved, but they were not growing. They were not growing, amen? You cannot study. Number 13, you cannot supplicate. That is, you will not pray when you're asleep. In fact, in Luke 22:46, Jesus asked the question, "Why sleep ye?" And then He said, "Rise and pray." Amen. And then you cannot soldier. You cannot be a soldier and be asleep. There'll be no opposition come from you. If we snooze, sinners will lose. God wants us to win them. God wants us to witness to them. You know what a lot of people's doing? I tell you what a lot of people's doing. God's people, they're sleepwalking. You ever heard that term? Sleepwalking. You know what that means? They look like they're awake, but they're really not. And it's called sleepwalking. They're up walking around, moving around, but they're out. They're asleep. They don't have no idea what they're doing. There's a lot of material that you can study out on that, on sleepwalking. There's been people, there's been people that actually got up and cooked a meal asleep. I thought when Sister Hensley said a while ago that they cook from scratch. Most of the ladies around in America, especially all the young ladies, cook from scratch around here. They scratch their heads. What is that? How do you do that? But they've cooked a meal. They've driven a car. They've walked around the block. Some have even committed crimes. Asleep. God's people, for the most part, are asleep. They come into church. They walk in, sit on a pew. They look awake. Their eyes are open. They might even talk. But they're asleep. And I'm afraid that's where we are. Amen? Amen? Have you ever heard this term? Half asleep. Half asleep. Well, I'm half asleep. You know what that means? I'm just about as much awake as I am asleep. I'm half and half. You ever heard the term deep sleep? Light sleep? Those things we battle in life. Spiritually, we'll battle those things. Amen. I want you to stand with me.